Jen, and tonight I'm here with Karen and Brittany. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How's everyone doing this week?
It is only Monday, man, and it's kicking my butt.
Yeah, it was not a nice Monday. I've been having issues with Thursdays lately, so after the end of this Thursday, I basically wanted to cancel all Thursdays. However, this Monday snuck up on me, and it was not much better, so I might have to cancel a couple of days of the week. We'll see how that balances out in the end. All right, so let's talk about what we've been reading on this lovely Monday. So, Brittany, why don't you go ahead? Because it looks like you've got some things there, my friend. What have you been up to?
Yes. So I've been reading a lot of romance. And while that's not a bad thing, in my head, I'm like, I need something, you know, cooler and better. So I started reading The Man in the High Castle, but I didn't finish it. I'm only about halfway through. I really like it. I only read it when I'm on the bus, so that way I have something to read. But I had to take a break because I was going to see an advanced screening of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. So I dove right back into that book really quickly. It's different than I remember, which is odd. I thought, like, I'm not going to reveal anything because everybody still has to read it, and I don't want to spoil anything with the movie, but go see the movie. Yeah, it was just the book was, I didn't remember certain parts, so it was kind of cool to see what I had forgotten and pick up on what is similar to the Jane Austen original material, because I have reread Pride and Prejudice in between when I've read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies for the first time and now. So yeah, it was that was good. That was a good time, and I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody else thinks of it and what everybody thinks of the movie. If you don't care about spoilers, you can go read my review of the movie on Hypeable.
Now, The Man in the High Castle, is that the one that is also now the Netflix?
Yeah, TV? I think it's
the adaptation.
Yeah, it is.
Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon.
Amazon. Ooh, boo, boo. Yeah, Amazon.
have you watched that, Brittany?
No, and I wanted to read the book first, which is why I picked it up. But as I was reading through, like, the descriptions for Philip K. Dick's books, I realized that there are, like, other stories that I want to read so much more than this one. But I'm like, well, this one has, like, a nice little, like, visual reward at the end, so I'll read this one now. But I forget the name of the one that I really want to read, but it's about, like, this one guy who he's the cop and the person he's trying to catch. It's like, it sounds so cool and right up.
So he's Dexter?
I guess so. I don't like Dexter, so I don't like to compare
it
to Dexter. But yeah, I guess so.
Kind of, maybe. Cool.
I actually started watching that series. I have like 4 episodes left, so I'm a little more than halfway through. And it was a bit slow, but the concept is so cool. And visually, it looks amazing. I honestly didn't even realize that it was a book, so that kind of interests me. Maybe I'll have to pick that up sometime.
Yeah, I could share it with you on our Kindle sharing ways that I've just figured out how to do.
That's cool.
Excellent. I was wondering about the show because I always see the previews for it and it always looks super cool. So
yeah, it's a really cool world. Like, I mean, it's not because like we lost the world war, but
but it's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting, I should say. Not
yeah,
cool.
exactly. All right. Karen, what have you been reading? It looks like you have some good stuff too.
Yeah, a little bit of everything this week. I started the Sex, Love, and Stiletto series as per Kristen's suggestion. It's by Lauren Lane, and the first book is After the Kiss, and it was quite good. The ending wasn't my favorite, but leading up to that was pretty cool, and there's 3 other books in the series that I'm really excited to read because you meet the characters in the first one, and those characters, as much as I did like the protagonist for After the Kiss, the other 2 main characters had a bit more personality, I think, so it's going to be really cool to jump into those soon. And actually, fun fact about those, Kristen won that series on like a giveaway for the Kindle, but she already had them, so she gifted them to me, so I have all 4 books already. She's so nice. And then I read, or I listened to, You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, by Felicia Day, narrated by Felicia Day, and I cried no less than 6 times because it's a really good book. It's super, super funny, but it's also kind of deep, and if you're interested in, like, if you're interested in sci-fi or gaming or nerd culture or acting or want to see how other people react to having, like, social anxiety, this book's for you. I think it hits a lot of target audiences. If you're just curious about why Felicia Day is so cool and why everyone loves her, read the book and you'll quickly find out. It was really, really great and surprisingly inspirational, which I guess memoirs are supposed to be, but it was really funny but also inspirational, which I guess I wasn't expecting it to be both. But it's Felicia Day, so I guess I shouldn't have been that surprised. And then lastly, I read Curio by Evangeline Denmark. And this book didn't sit with me the greatest. I think it's because it was such a monster of a book, and it took on kind of like a world within a world, and my brain just couldn't handle it at the time. So it was a little tough for me to get into it, but I think some people are really going to like it. It's about this world where there's this woman who, like, they have magicians, and it's kind of this dystopian post-apocalyptic world, but then she goes into another world where, like, literally porcelain dolls are real and come to life. And they're called Porsies, and they move around, and they're real people that can feel things and think things. And it's kind of creepy, but not, like, horror film creepy. And she has to figure out how to get back to the other world. And there's a lot more going on with it. It's quite complicated, but definitely a good one if you like those world-building kind of books. But I just had a little bit of trouble with it.
Okay, that last one sounds really, really creepy. I'm totally not going to lie. So for me this week, I was trying to catch up on a couple things. And one of the books I read was The Cruel Crown. It's a set of short stories by Victoria Aveyard. And it goes with the Red Queen series that we read and reviewed last year. And it's really interesting because it's these mini short stories of the characters that we really want to know about, like Cal's mom, who is, by the time we get into the story of the Red Queen, she's passed away. So we learn about her. And then we learn about the Captain Farley, I think is what his name is. And then there's also a preview for the Glass Sword in that set of novellas. And then I started reading, I haven't finished it yet, but I did start reading The Glass Sword, which is the next book in the Red Queen series by Victoria Aveyard. And I'm really, really excited about it. I love the way she writes. That The Red Queen was such a good book. And The Glass Sword is also on point. So I am very, very excited to finish that book and tell you guys more about it. And The Glass Sword comes out next week. And Cruel Crown is out right now. So there's some pretty fun things to look forward to. It's one of the few dystopian-esque novels that I actually really liked. So that's saying something, friends.
I'm so proud.
I know. It's a really good book, though. Do you remember how much we loved it?
Yeah. Like,
it was like every dystopian like trope mashed up, but in a really cool way. So that's what I love so much about it. So it's pretty exciting. All right. Just as a quick reminder, for February, our book is Pride and Prejudice and Zombies by Jane Austen and Seth Graham Smith. You know, he added the zombies just for his own kicks. And then our March book will be The Shadow Queen by CJ Redwine, which is also a lovely little fairy tale mashup, which I think people will be very excited about. So moving right along, Karen, can we get a Jane Austen update, please? Because, you know, you thought you were going to get away with it, but no, absolutely not.
So
go ahead and update us now.
Yeah, my grand update is that I do, in fact, own Pride and Prejudice.
Small miracles.
That's it. That's the whole update.
That's it. That's all you've got. You did not manage to watch one stitch of video of Jane Austen. Nothing. I mean, even like a part of a movie or a part of a BBC miniseries. Nothing.
I've sent her numerous Colin Firth gifts. Nothing has happened.
I got yelled at a lot on Twitter. That's an update. Lots of people have come to me.
Oh, boy.
It's mainly me behind multiple accounts.
That really does not
like,
surprise
me. I've made several accounts. They're used for
I'm at least behind
that
two
as well.
Of them. Myself as a pipe.
But I'm just, I don't know. I think it's funny. And the poll indicated that you should read or engage in some sort of Jane Austen prior to reading and seeing Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, correct?
Yes, and actually, I'm finishing up a book right now, and then afterwards, I think I'm going to tackle Pride and Prejudice because I really want to see the movie. I don't know if I'm going to get to Pride and Prejudice and Zombies before the movie, but at least get that basis in there.
All right, I suppose we can let it go. I'll have you know, the second we got off last time, I went and watched Mansfield Park, like the BBC version one, and I think Brittany went immediately and
watched,
the Mansfield Park.
Sensibility.
Oh, no,
I did watch Mansfield Park. I lied.
You watched the bad Mansfield Park.
I watched
the 1989 one.
No, but the really good one, because it has Johnny Lee
Miller. Because it's Johnny Lee Miller in it. Let's be real. We all know that. And then later, see, I watched the Billy Piper one first. And then later in the week, I watched the batter. Oof, I'm really tired. The not so good one, but it had Johnny Lee Miller. So bonus points for that. Because I cannot find my copy of Emma with Johnny Lee Miller in it. I know it's here somewhere, unless one of my sisters took it. I know. Maybe later. But yes. So Karen, we've already like quadrupled our watching just because we talked about it with you. So you know. Come on. You can do it.
I'm trying, guys.
No, I know. I believe you. But I also thought of afterwards, there's something called Lost in Austin. Once you actually get some real Austin and like watch it and read
Austin,
it.
Austin.
And get... Did you watch it?
It was pretty.
She's fantastic, but it's good fun.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, you know. It might be something Karen would like, though.
If it has,
what does that mean?
Actually, yeah, you would probably like that.
See? Thank you. I'm betting that I'm in this assumption. Karen, have I ever given you lots of, like, books that you didn't like or anything? I kind of know where your taste lies, so trust me, I think you would like it.
Doesn't mean I can't resent that comment.
You can, sure, go for it. Resent away. All right, so... Moving right along, now that we've harassed Karen sufficiently.
Must be an episode of Book Hype.
I know. I was just going to say, what's an episode without making sure Karen is thoroughly harassed? All right. So let's talk some book news because there are some pretty cool things that popped up in the news this week. First, let's start off with this Lost Beatrix Potter story. And as Brittany puts it, it's about a badass cat. So let's discuss. Like, it is. So go ahead, Brittany. This was yours. So you go ahead and you tell us about this kitty cat.
Yeah. So earlier in the week, the name Beatrix Potter kept popping up in my Twitter timeline, and I'm like, all right, I'm into that. So these were my favorite books when I was younger. So the story was basically that there was this book that was discovered. Like, it was a couple of stories. That were discovered when Emma Thompson was working on a new Peter Rabbit story, which, oh my God, I'm going to die when that happens. And so they found this like out of print thing, and it was about this cat, and the name of it was called The Tale of Kitty in Boots. And so the book is basically about a kitty that sneaks out at night dressed in men's clothes. She carries a gun to hunt rabbits, but she's not going to hunt Peter. So no one worry, Peter Rabbit's fine. She like gets caught in a trap and is injured. And the book was turned down, obviously, because this was not for children at the time. So it just never got published, and they found it. And so they're going to publish it in the US and the UK, and it's going to be awesome.
Of course they are. Why wouldn't they?
But this is one where I'm like, yeah, you published that lost manuscript because.
Yeah, well, no, exactly. But at the same time, it's really kind of odd and funny. I'm not going to lie. Very interesting. Very interesting. Beatrix Potter. A little dark side right there. Who knew? All right. So
Then there is the Francis Short Story Machine. I briefly looked at this online, but I didn't really read a lot about it. Did you guys read about it?
Yeah, so this was another thing I just found, like, maybe 10 minutes before we started Book Hype.
Yeah, well, I saw it popping up because I remember this picture where the guy, like, looks like he's just getting a ridiculously long receipt, but it's actually a short story.
Yeah, so it's, like, this little machine. It looks like a little, like, you know, like, cylinder thing, and, like, you just walk up and press a button, and a short story pops out, and you just have a nice little short story. But I think it's for like, it's supposed to like go through like, you're like for, I forget what it's called. Oh, like a free publishing type thing. So like people can get their work out in the world. I'm not really sure what the point of it is. Like,
yeah,
running it and stuff like that. It was a very long article. And like I said, I just found it 10 minutes before we started.
Right. So it looks like it has to do with proving that the written word isn't dead.
Yeah, and they're saying that, because the last paragraph, because, like, you know, that's usually where they sum up some stuff.
Right.
Like, scroll down there, and they just had, like, people who come and, like, print out the stories at will and just read them. Mm-hmm. And the last line of this, which I think is really interesting and something I would like to see, was they would imagine a distributor in every Starbucks. Like, wouldn't that be cool? You go get a cup of coffee, push a button, and you have a short story right there.
And it is kind of cool because it is authors. It seems like you have to be selected, mm-hmm. but it tends to be unknowns. Like, it's not like, you know, your average author that everyone knows has a story in there. It's for basically help for people to get their work out and share their work. And
yeah,
stuff.
It's not like famous authors writing on the back of Chipotle cups.
No, not at all. This is super cool, though. I like this. I kind of want one.
I like this, too,
just go press a button and get a new short story.
Short stories aren't that big, you know, like everybody reads books, but short stories really aren't that popular anymore unless they're written by a famous author. And I feel like you can do a lot of things with short stories that you can't do in novels. They tend to be really strange and kind of break the rules, or at least that's my experience with them. So this is a cool way to kind of put a different sort of story out there into the world.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I do, too. I think it's very, very cool. All right. So let's all hope we can get a short story machine soon, because that would be super fun. All right. Let's do a little catch-up on one of the adaptations we've been talking about, The Magicians. And tonight's episode of The Magicians let you do something super cool. So, Brittany.
Hi, again.
I didn't get to watch it live. So you watched it live.
I did.
So tell me all about it.
Yeah, that also just ended a half hour ago, but it was, I mean, it's okay. There's a lot more calls to the book in this one, just like little moments, like they're out of place, but they're like, you can tell where they're calling back to moments in the book, which is really cool. And they're giving Penny a really cool storyline, which I'm into. But during The Magicians, there was a commercial break that was like, it seemed odd because it was still The Magicians, but it was like talking to you kind of. And I was like, oh, wait, I need to like pay attention to this. And it's for this thing. If you go to like the sci-fi website in the Magician section, one of the things that pops up now is like enroll at Break Bills. And like you go, and I watched the introductory video because this is all happening while I was still watching the actual episode. And you watch an introductory video, and then the next step is to take the exam that Quentin and Julia take, and Penny, obviously. I'm not sure what the exam entails because I just didn't have time to start it, because you have to, like, you know, listen and, you know, actually pay attention to it. But it seems really cool. I like that they're doing, like, this interactive thing from the get-go just to, like, get people involved in what's going on. It sort of seems like, you know, it's still sticking with the more adult themes that The Magicians has, because like I think like some of the language in the introductory video, I was like, oh, okay, right, this isn't like welcome to Hogwarts, take your Pottermore sorting quiz. It's more like, yeah, you want to do magic, it's hard, so you take this entrance exam to see if you even make it into the school. And I'd be curious to see if people do take it and they don't get in. Like, I just think that would be kind of cool. And then, like, maybe you could go to, like, the underground wizarding, like, magic world, like Julia does. I think that would be cool. But I don't know yet. So if you take it, let me know. I'll probably take it when I'm done writing.
Interesting. I'm not sure. I just don't know. Like, I watched the second episode, and I was kind of like, or the third episode, whatever episode was last week. And I was like, eh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stick with the magicians. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm liking it a lot. And I don't know why I'm liking it. I think it's, but it, I think it's always one scene that I'm like,
that yes, pulls you through.
I want more of that. And I hope that that happens next week. You know what I mean? So like when Quentin and Elliot had a scene in the second episode where I was like, yes, that is what I want. That all of that all the time. And
yeah.
It like it had little moments again here where I was like in this episode where I'm like we're with Penny this week and I'm like yes I want that but all the time like you know it's, so it's just these little moments that are just stringing together and maybe by the finale I'll have a whole episode where it's just those but for now I'm okay I'll stick with it.
Oh, that's what's so hard.
I'm just, I don't watch anything else on Monday, so this, and I've been watching the X-Files every week, and it's, like, freaking me out, and I need to start turning it off.
Really? I saw, like, a hot 5 seconds of that tonight, because I was going to watch Lucifer.
Did you see the creepy alien dude? I just can't.
Yeah, I saw him, and he, like, had a funny run, and I'm like, what am I watching? I thought, I was like, what, it was just so, like, campy and weird. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, well, I've never seen any and of the then, X-Files, so I'm like, is this what the whole series is like? Why do people want this back? I mean, I get, like, the relationship between David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson is brilliant. I think that they play well together, but the actual context of the show, first of all, I'm terrified of aliens, so I, like, kind of, like, squint at certain parts just in case. But other than that, like, I just, it was very campy tonight, and I was like, ooh, is this like it, I don't know if I could do this for all of those other seasons.
That's probably a product of its origins, just because it wasn't that great quality to begin with, but X-Files mm-hmm. is kind of a seminal sci-fi television show, which is probably why people want it back. But fun story, my dad texted me and he was like, X-Files, yes, and I assumed that he came across like one of the new episodes. Then when it was over, he texted me back and he was like, it was terrible, I'm not watching it again. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Dad, because he really loves the X-Files.
It had outrageous numbers. Like,
yeah,
outrageous.
It did really well.
The premiere had more views than the finale when it went off the air.
Yeah.
That's wow. Ridiculous.
It, the numbers yeah. this week are incredible.
Absurd, yeah. Anyway, and I did mention a moment ago that I actually turned on to watch Lucifer. And Lucifer is a comic book, so technically we can talk about it.
Yes.
That's my new rule. Only because Karen and I kind of love it. And it's Neil Gaiman. I mean, it's Neil Gaiman's comic book, right? So you really can't, we have to talk about it. I feel like it's legit and we're going to do it. So for those of you who have not watched it yet, Lucifer is on Fox on Monday nights at 9:00. And there's only 2 episodes in, so you can catch up, like bust out your on-demand catch up because it is worth every second of it. Could we please talk about Tom Ellis as Lucifer?
Oh my
please.
God. He is perfect. I
oh
love
my God,
him
yes.
so much. He does this weird thing where, like, he's not a good dude. Like, he is
no,
Lucifer
no,
as in the devil. And he's not afraid to punish some people in the worst way possible, but you kind of like him for it. And to be able to walk that line as an actor, I think, is really difficult because he is sexy and he is sassy, but he's also evil. And you just can't help but love him. It's so weird.
But he's evil and he's charismatic at the same time, and you're just sucked in. Like, it is crazy. But I, like, Tom Ellis has been in a couple things that I've watched, but I, and the other shows clearly didn't work out, but him in this, I love this for him. Like, it's so perfect. And for those of you guys who are wondering, Tom Ellis is actually the original Robin Hood on Once Upon a Time, before the new guy, Sean McGuire, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before him, there was Tom Ellis.
and I think he would have been superb opposite Regina. Like, in the role that Sean Maguire plays right now, I think Tom Ellis would have killed it opposite
He would have, Regina. But I think Lucifer lets him shine even more.
Oh, absolutely. But I, you know, anyway.
So if you, you don't like Lucifer, come and talk to me. We'll have a lot to
discuss. Did
you
even watch it? Did you watch it?
Oh, I turned it off tonight, but I watched last week.
You didn't like it?
You didn't like it?
No, not at all.
Why? Honestly, why?
Because it's just not good. He's going to be a freaking detective? Like, what is that? It's
turning over a new leaf.
It's, no. I didn't. He's hot and everything. I could listen to him read the phone book to me. But I can't watch him. I was so cringeworthy. The girl who's playing opposite him, I couldn't.
No.
I just couldn't do it. I don't like it. And I was watching it tonight, and I was so mad because I was like, oh, I'll sit here and watch this, and then I'll do book hype. But I thought that The Magicians was on at 10, and when I found out it was on at 9, I was very happy. So I turned it off. Huh. I can't do it. I was almost going to turn it off even if The Magicians wasn't on. I don't.
Really? Fascinating. We are so different in our viewing habits, it's not even funny. We may like all the same books
and I
and
honestly
stuff,
thought
but, like, wow.
That it was right up my alley. I love the like mythology of Lucifer. I love a good procedural. That's like right in my wheelhouse. I am a procedural nut.
How do you not like this show?
I really don't like the characters. Like, I really just don't like them.
Fascinating.
I was kind of over Lucifer as a character in like the first 20 minutes of the first episode, and I was like, oh, this is going to be how he is every week. So unless he like has some like major overhaul, I don't know.
I think he's going to continue to change, but
yeah, I'm just not. Yeah, I'm not patient.
Did you watch Constantine at all?
No.
Okay. I wonder if you would like that, because Constantine and Lucifer as characters, very similar.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen any of Constantine. I don't watch a lot of what was Constantine on?
It was on Friday nights. It was buried.
NBC, I think.
Yeah, I thought that's what I was gonna say too, it was NBC.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch that.
Okay. Interesting.
All right, now that we've had our Lucifer conversation that I felt obligated
this,
to have after
this is
watching
like
it.
How you guys feel about Jane Austen, right? Like,
but there's only like you've seen what, 3 episodes of this, and I've had Jane Austen for a couple of years, so I'm not
2 episodes, and it doesn't matter. My opinion's not going to change.
Yeah, not the same playing field at all. But
oh, goodness,
I'll let you
ladies.
Have it.
Thanks.
I'll give you that one. Oh, you're so nice. All right, so now that we've talked about Lucifer and the Magicians, let's move on to our ultimate topic, which is Harry Potter, because Harry Potter is out of control right now. So J.K. Rowling, actually, we're going to talk about J.K. Rowling. I take that back. J.K. Rowling is just consistently dropping the information about the new wizarding schools. Like, Pottermore had a new sorting hat. So they now have revealed 4 wizarding schools around the world. One of them being in, it looks like, upstate New York, perhaps. Karen, were you hiding something from us? Should we have known about that?
I mean, you guys know I can't talk about that.
All right, so Ilvermorny, I think that's how you say it. Yes, Ilvermorny. It's probably the only one I can pronounce correctly out of the lot of them. That is the American one. Possibly in upstate, or is it American or North? It's American, right? Yeah. And then we have, and these maps, by the way, that came out with them are
beautiful.
Stunning. I just want them. I need a library so that I can have these maps and a couple other things in my house. That's what I've decided. That needs to happen. It would be stunning. All right. And then there are 3 other ones, and I'm going to, I guess I'm going to attempt to say the names. There is one in Africa, and I believe it's called Yugado. The one in, now I'm going to say the Japanese one, and if Donya hears me, she will probably scream at me.
Well, there's
she's
pronunciations.
There's pronunciations.
In our article. Didn't you read our article, Jennifer?
I'm looking at it.
Also, the phonetic pronunciation of the Japanese one is also.
That's what I was going to say. Because I was like, that's Danya, not gonna end well.
Like, Danya gave me, like, one morning, I commented on something, and then all of a sudden I got this, like, slew of Facebook messages, and she's just like,
yeah.
Let me tell you everything that's wrong with this.
She's, like, she's okay. Very passionate about the Japanese one. Very passionate. Like, this is not a joke. It comes up frequently in the Facebook group. okay, I found them. You know what it was? I saw the first one, and then I was, like, skimming through, and I didn't see the rest of them. All right, so there's one in Brazil, and it's Castelo Broshu. There's the Japanese one, Mahutokoro, and then the African is Wagadu. So those are the four that they revealed, and there are supposed to be more that they're going to reveal, if I read correctly. So I'm super excited about this new information. It's so cool, and we got our first glimpse at Fantastic Beasts and where to find them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I love
how many times did you guys watch the trailer? Yeah, how many times did you watch it?
The behind-the-scenes thing I watched much more than I watched the trailer.
Yeah. No, it was so cool watching them talk about it and seeing how they filmed. And just having them in, like, period costume. Like, I love it. And, like, I'm a sucker for period costumes.
This unmagical, like, muggle follow them around. Mm-hmm. And,
I know!
I'm like, this is fantastic.
And then when he's like, I opened the case.
there was
a lot going on in that behind the scenes. And I love
what killed me about that, too, was like their appreciation for what they're actually doing. When they were like, yeah, you know, we get to come back to this world and it's completely new. And they have such reverence for what they're doing. And it makes me so excited because I don't have the connection to this specific story that I did to Harry Potter, obviously, because it's not really a story that we've seen before, but just the idea that it's set in the Harry Potter world makes me excited. But the fact that they're treating it the way they are and they know how important it is, it just makes me so excited for what's to come because, like, they get it, and I think it's going to really come through on the screen.
Right. And I think one of the really interesting things is we don't know much about it. We know that J.K. Rowling's written the screenplay, which is new for her, but I think she probably killed it. Do you know what I mean? Just like what we're looking at. And like, let's face it, the woman puts a pen to a paper and it's usually pretty impressive. So I think I'm really interested to see her work in this medium, which is different. Like there's a lot of different things that go into a screenplay than writing a 700 to 800 page novel, which is kind of her thing. So I'm really, really excited to see how it turns out. And I loved, like, Eddie Redmayne is just perfectly awkward and adorable, and I think he's going to do great as Newt. So I'm really excited to see some more of that and to see. The sisters looked really cool, too. They kind of had that vaudeville 20s vibe, so.
Yeah, they were cool. And I was cool that they were, like, I haven't really been reading much about Fantastic Beasts. This made me want to go and read every single thing that has been released about it that I've been ignoring. Just like, because that's what I tend to do with all this stuff. I ignore everything until something's too big that I can't possibly ignore it. And so now I'm like, I need to catch up on everything that's ever come out in the past 6 months about Fantastic
in your face.
Because this behind the scenes thing was just like, all right, yeah, no, now.
Yeah. No, see, I only watch like the videos and stuff that come out. I try to leave the other stuff because I'm just kind of like, I don't know. All right, so moving right along, one more Harry Potter note. Somebody has decided that it is time that Harry Potter become anime. And I have to admit, looking at these little, like, cards, I need them poster size to put in a library somewhere because they're so ridiculously cute. Like, seriously, imagine a library with the really cool maps and then some Harry Potter anime.
I don't know. I think the adults are kind of weird looking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the Sirius Black is a little creeptastic, but I love.
So is Lupin.
Hermione. Oh, I didn't. Wait, where is he? Dumbledore's not bad.
I don't like Dumbledore either.
Oh yeah, Lupin looks a little creepy.
I think the animals.
James Potter's not bad.
Are cute. The kids are adorable. The twins look like Team Rocket from Pokemon, which I love.
So, yeah, I would just want the kids and the animals. That's what I'm going with.
And although, maybe Snape.
Severus Snape. Yeah, I was just like, Snape is kind of cool with his pout right now. I could live with that. Once again, super fun. Love it. I like it. It's really good stuff. And just, I don't know, with all the Fantastic Beasts information, and then kind of like the relaunching of Pottermore with the new sorting hat and this announcement of these new wizarding schools, like, do you guys feel like maybe she's gearing up for more than just Fantastic Beasts?
Look, I don't know what's going on, but at this point, I think I'm going to be disappointed if she's not, or if something else isn't going to come out, because she not only gave us the names of all of these other wizarding schools, but little details about them that I really liked, like the African school. They don't really use wands. It says they cast spells simply by pointing their fingers or through hand gestures. And that little detail, like, opens up a whole different wizarding culture and world to me, and I need to know more.
I mean, that's a lot of detail for a random, you know what I mean? Like, she gave them names, like, complex names, and she gave us backstory on each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that unless they're going to use them in some way? Or, like, why would you do that? Like, we knew about the ones that were in the book and they came for the wizarding, you know, the cup and stuff. But, like, so, yes, I could understand why you would have backstory on those in their school histories and how they did stuff. Like, that would make sense. But to have these ones that have no basis within any of the worlds that you've already built seems odd, unless you're planning on using them somewhere. Maybe that's just my wishful thinking.
No,
I don't know.
While I do want more, I'm also, like, I think that she'll do it justice and, like, you know, pay attention. Like, she's like that. I don't think anything's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to get to a point where something is bad. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so nervous to accept
right.
new things that
right.
just because
it's just been so good.
Yeah, just in case it's the one thing. You know what I mean? I get nervous
right.
every time something new comes out.
I agree with that. I think if she were to do something else, as long as it's completely separate from Harry Potter's story, I'll be okay. Because mm-hmm. then I feel like it won't be touching Harry Potter's story if it is bad. But if it's directly
right.
related, it's going to kind of color that, which
yeah.
does worry me.
Right. So that's like the cursed child.
Yeah, I'm nervous
basically.
About the cursed child.
Yeah, there's so many things that could go either way right there. And the fact that it's done, like, it has to be done on two separate nights because it's such a long play. It's kind of you know what I mean? It's a fascinating thing. Like, that's intense. That's a lot of play, you know? So, I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out in the end. I'm sure it'll be good. The woman does fantastic things. So we shall see. All right. So moving right along, let's talk about this Buster Book Company, correct? They're publishers. And they publish things like coloring books for children. And I'm not really sure where they publish these coloring books because I can't say that I've ever seen them before. But these coloring books literally have titles like Brilliant Boys and Gorgeous Girls. But they have seen the error of their ways, and they are switching them so that they are now all gender neutral. This was after a parent campaign that, you know, why are boys brilliant and girls only gorgeous? That seems not okay to me. So they've been switched, and they're all going to be gender neutral so that they understand their consumers' concerns, and they're kind of moving forward and changing their ways. So what do you guys think about this? This is really interesting. I had no idea that there were actually coloring books out there that had titles like Brilliant Boys and Gorgeous Girls. Like, that seems so 1950s. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. I am happy for any change like that. So what are they going to... I didn't read the thing. Are they just, like, going to produce, like, just books that aren't for boys or girls? It's just going to be, like, Color
it's
of the
gonna,
Jungle.
Yeah, it's just... Well, yeah, well, it's not going to be, like... They literally, the title of the coloring book was Brilliant Boys.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Like, not a joke. And the girls' coloring book was Gorgeous Girls. I get the alliteration. I see what you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't come up with something better than Gorgeous for Girls. They, you know.
Genius Girls.
Thank you. Much better.
I'm going to start coloring books.
We're just going to start our own line. But so, I mean, I think that's be
amazing.
Oh, I have a coloring book for you. Don't let me forget. I'm going to mail it to you.
This is the best news ever.
Yeah, I totally. Good thing you said that because it's sitting on my table. So I think that's a pretty interesting thing with all this, you know. There's a lot of talk about, especially in children's toys, you know, gender bias and how little boys won't play or buy toys that have a girl representation in them, which is so cultural and societal more than a boy saying no to a toy. I mean, it's really the boy had to learn that somewhere. He's just a child. He's not going to know that something belongs to a girl or belongs to a boy unless he's taught that. So
it just feeds into that vicious circle.
Oh, my God. It drives me insane. Insane. So I think it's really interesting that they've, you know, so many places like Target is now removing. They used to have gender specific colors behind certain areas in their toys in the toy department. They've removed all of that. You know, now we have this book campaign that's, you know, why are we being specific to boys and girls? Why can't books be for everyone? And I think the book industry, it's really, really hard because girls will literally pick up and read almost anything for a book. I mean, I think, you know, I've watched my students. They're not overly particular. It just needs to be a good story. But if I were to try and give one of the boys a book with a, you know, in the cover had a girl with a dress on it, I would be hard pressed to get them to read it. So I have been known to take the covers off the books before I hand them to them.
Smart.
And then maybe later on I put the, oh, I, yeah. Because it's a good story and I know they're going to like the story. But they can't get past the idea that there's a girl in a dress on the cover, so why are you making me read this? So I take the covers off the hardbacks and just hand them the actual books. And then they read them, and then maybe I show them the cover later just to kind of prove my point, because they need to hear it sometimes. They're teenage boys. They need to get a much better picture of how the world is going to work. So, I mean, I think this is a much bigger discussion, and it's at every step that someone takes to make this more, you know, non-gender specific and more just kind of open and available to everybody, I think it's much better. And it's every little baby step counts, even though it doesn't feel like a lot. Every little step towards that is important, I think. So good on ya. All right, Karen, the last topic is all you.
And thanks. Go. Okay. So George Watsky is writing a book called How to Ruin Everything. And if nobody knows
who is George Watsky, you ask?
I was getting to that. If you don't know who George Watsky is, he is a rapper. But he actually started off doing spoken word and was brilliant at it and then kind of moved into rapping. And that's sort of like what he's known for now. And he's done a lot of really interesting things, like he's been on Epic Rap Battles of History and he has several albums and he's just done tons and tons of stuff. But How to Ruin Everything sounds incredible. It's coming out in June, and I just want to read one of the sentences from the synopsis because this tells you what it's about. It's a collection of essays, and it says, the essays in How to Ruin Everything range from the absurd, how he became an international ivory smuggler, to the comical, his middle school rap battle dominance, to the revelatory, his experiences with epilepsy, yet all are delivered with the type of linguistic dexterity and self-awareness that has won Watsky more than 765,000 YouTube subscribers. And Watsky's music, and Brittany, I know you've listened to, is really, really, really clever, extremely intelligent, but he's also, like, really fast and really good at just rapping. And I'm so excited for this.
Yeah. And if you need more of a reason to pre-order it and get it and check it out, Lin-Manuel Miranda is a fan and is pumped for it. So You should be too.
He's the only person, the first and only person right now who has like endorsed it. He has a little blurb on Penguin's website of like why you need to buy this book. I was sold at Watsky, but now I need, like, 10 copies.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Oh, goodness. Goodness me, ladies. All right. I might try to read it. We'll see.
I guarantee it's going to be absolutely hilarious.
All right. So you can, if you can guarantee hilarity, then maybe.
Yes. Just maybe. Yeah. I really want an audiobook narrated by Watsky.
He might narrate his own. Sometimes they do that, especially because it's kind of his thing. Mm-hmm. That would definitely be really cool if he did that. So, I don't know. All right. So, ladies, is there anything else you wanted to talk about on this episode?
No.
No, go see Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
The book world. Yes, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies comes out on Friday. And then the following week, and again, comic book reference, Deadpool comes out. Yes. So you should most definitely go check that out. Happy Valentine's Day.
Have you guys been, I assume you guys have seen all of the marketing and stuff that's been coming out?
It's so ridiculous, I love every minute of it.
He did videos for like testicular cancer and breast cancer awareness, and he put up a poster today about like, it was, I forget what they said exactly, it was like douchebags on one side and heroes on the other, and he was right in the middle, but the two circles were definitely boobs, and it was perfect.
He just like, I honestly, here's my little tangent for a minute. Like, Ryan Reynolds is perfection. As, like, there isn't anyone better for Deadpool. Like, if you think back to, Ryan Reynolds' early career, he just played that, like, Van Wilder and, what was it, Waiting, which was, he was the waitstaff guy. Like, this is his, like, crude humor that's just off the charts. And he gets to do it in a super suit. So, you know, how can you say no to that?
And because we're inundated with superhero movies right now, this feels so fresh and different that I think people are going to be clamoring for more stories like this. Not necessarily like as ridiculous and crude and fourth wall breaking as Deadpool, but they're going to want everybody else to step up their game. And all of the early reviews say that this movie is amazing.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people that this is like the best thing they've seen in a really long time. So I'm really excited. And again, I just love the humor in it. You know what I mean? Like, it's fantastic. So I'm really excited about that. I think that's all for today. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Karen.
Bye-bye.